Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
You could be the talk of the elevator with your own personal cell phone answering message from Dave Dickey.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Leave your message after the beep for George.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
This is the April 9 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Please do visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Remember, we're in the first day of our fund drive for the month of April. As we come into the end of this year, we're putting everything in the bank that we'll need to spend next year. Kind of unique that we do it this way. So all the money that we will spend in the next fiscal year on WILL and Illinois Public Media is in the bank by June the 30th. You can help us out right now by calling in your pledge of financial support. Make sure that you tell them it's in support of agriculture to 217-244-9455, or just go online at willag.org and look for the donate button. Today, our special guests include John Newton, ag economist at the University of Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Recording on Thursday, the 9th day of April, the USDA report came out at 11 a.m. this morning, John Newton, and there were some numbers there that were pretty interesting. These are the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. USDA trying to balance the grain stocks figures that it released at the end of March with the first world agricultural supply and demand estimates. They did that a little bit in both the corn and the soybeans. They put an additional 50 million bushels into the ending stocks for corn and took 15 million bushels out of the ending stocks for soybeans. So now they're at 1.827 billion and 370 million bushels, respectively. How did they go about balancing it, and how close do you suppose they are at this point?
You know, that's an interesting question, Todd. I think after the grain stocks report that we got just a week or so ago, there were wide-ranging expectations on where feed and residual would be for this marketing year. Anywhere between 4.9 billion bushels used for feed, all the way up to 5.7 billion bushels used. And that all depended on how you interpreted the implied use of feed for the first half of the marketing year this year. So given that information, there was a wide range of trade guesses on where the corn stocks would end with today's April 9th WASDE report. The range was anywhere between 1.75 billion bushels all the way up to 2 billion bushels. Now, that's a large number, 2 billion bushels. The average of that guess was about 1850, and the USDA came in at 1.827. So fairly close to the trade guess, below the trade guess. And even though it was below trade guess, prices today moved down a couple cents, I believe.
And they struck a much deeper note in the soybeans. Same sort of scenario, except the trade guess for soybeans was 370 million bushels. And USDA said, in fact, there are 370 million bushels. The 370 is kind of the midpoint of the trade guess and its range, of course.
Well, and if you look back at the stocks report on soybeans, the USDA was, I believe, there was a 12 million bushel difference between the average trade guess and the USDA stocks estimate. So a lot of people saw this coming. Add to the fact that soybeans continue to have strong export volumes, fairly strong crush rates through this point in the marketing year. And I think it was almost a given that the stocks were going to come down from that 385 million bushels on the bean side. The trade guess anywhere between 10 and 15 million bushels decrease. And like you said, they were right on the money there at 370.
In both of these, John, it leaves some wiggle room for the next 6 months for USDA to continue adjusting based on what it thinks feed and residual and use might be in particular for corn. And I suppose most are thinking an adjustment of harvested bushels for soybeans.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the June report will provide some additional information on, again, the ongoing pace of consumption in corn for feed and residual use. We'll continue to watch ethanol production and corn exports to see just where we may end up. I like to think of the USDA and the WASD reports as a slow-moving ship. And so even though we may ultimately get to a number higher than 1.85 billion bushels of corn carrying out in the marketing year, the USDA is not going to go there today. It'll take some time. They'll progressively make adjustments because it's a lot easier to make slower adjustments than walk this thing back later in the marketing year.
In contrast, Jackie Vakes, thanks for being with us from Stuart Peterson. The trade moves fairly quickly, builds things into the marketplace. How did they react at 11 o'clock to the soybean number? I was surprised, I suppose, that we lost 18 to 20 cents on the day.
Well, there was a lot built into the report or into the market already, but not in the beans. We didn't go to the 18 cents down until we got right into the end of the day, basically. You know, we do have the index fund rolling going on. Also, we're in the second day of that, so I think you see a lot. There are a lot of factors going on in the background, but I'm not surprised in a lot of ways when you looked at what the report was. You know, I agree with John. I saw a lot of it built in already when it came. Once we got the grain stocks report out, we knew that the corn number was probably going to go higher. I wouldn't be surprised when we get to the June acreage, and I couldn't agree with you more, John, when you talk about the USDA being a slow-moving vehicle, because it certainly is. They do not like to have to go back and change things, and so I think we could see more acreage, both in corn and beans, than what we actually saw on the March 30th report. And so we'll move forward from there. But corn definitely had things built in. Unfortunately, I think that people focused way too much on the fact that U.S. supply was lower on corn than the expectation and didn't bother to look at the world supply, because the world supply was significantly higher than what the expectations were. And so that's going to come in and play into things. The minute we find out whether the weather is going to remain a factor. I think weather was a big supporter of the market today, and I never really feel like we see the true reaction until we get into tomorrow.
And of course, we're in the midst of this transition in the marketplace from old crop, both corn and soybeans, into the new crop. But the old crop will continue to play a pretty significant role, at least as it relates to the grain stocks numbers. I'm wondering whether, since USDA only took what I'll consider a baby step and changed 50 million bushels rather than a much larger number, which may have been implied by the feed and residual, by the grain stocks figure for the feed and residual number, and by some of the work that Darrell Good has done, if it's that number was like the past 4 years, it may be on target. But if it was like the previous historical, it may actually show usage in June at a quicker pace. There still could be some surprises that might show up. I know you mentioned a larger number for carryout, John, but it could be smaller as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I think a lot has to happen to get a smaller number at this point. The expectations are certainly that the corn stocks will continue to grow. Certainly, if you look at export numbers, you know, I can see a hard time getting to that WASD number. I believe we're below pace, about 3% below our pace last year. You know, you look at crush numbers, we need some strong crush numbers to finish out the marketing year on soybeans. Again, on going back to corn, the ethanol number, you know, we've seen in recent weeks it started to trend down ethanol production. So, you know, signs point to corn stocks increasing to close out the marketing year. I guess people hope that the increase in livestock numbers will ultimately come into play, and we'll see an increase in feed and residual use, which then could help to push those stocks down. But, you know, dairy profitability is coming down from where it was last year. I think the same can be said in the beef sector. Maybe not so much in poultry and swine, but certainly there is some pressure that says maybe we won't use as much feed as we think we were.
Hey, Jackie, speaking of using feed, the red meat numbers were actually up from USDA mm-hmm. for the day, weren't they?
They certainly were. You know, it's interesting because we all recognize that the feed residual is exact. You know, it's like a miscellaneous column in an accounting setup. And so I felt that the USDA dropped feed usage by 50 million today because they were hesitant to do it on exports. Exports might have had a much more negative impact on the marketplace. And like John said, they're slow to move. But I think the export situation is a major wild card, especially in the face of what the U.S. dollar is doing. And so I think that the feed number is probably spot on or maybe a little low compared to where it should be. But at the very same time, you know, we're all basing this off of 171 bushels to the acre at this point in time, you know, with 89.2 being planted. If I figured it out today, if we dropped to 165 and we don't add any more corn acres, we kept usage where it is right now, we could drop to a billion bushel carryout. So this is a very fluid number that's going in here. And I just think that the USDA is going to massage the feed usage number because it's the easiest number to do that with because we really have no good numbers on it.
Wait, do you also think they're going to massage either the harvested acreage number and or potentially the yield per acre?
Well, I think yield per acre will come down, especially
for old
crop,
right?
You know, yeah,
I think she means for
we
new
added
crop.
Acres, remember?
New crop.
You know, and so a new crop. I'm talking about new crop.
So you're talking about and dropping, but the reason I was confused because you mentioned dropping down to a billion bushels in carryout. So you're looking forward to a number that's not been put out at all yet, right?
That's exactly right. Okay. All I'm looking is at a what if. What if we remained at these acres and we came in at 165 bushels rather than 171? The reality that we all are aware of, Todd, is that the more acres you plant across a greater portion of the U.S., you bring in much lower production acres. And so last week when we came out and saw that North Dakota only dropped 100 million acres out of their production. Those are much lower production acres. So that immediately you raise the acres, it shifts the yield slightly lower on a nationwide basis. You know, and so I don't know what's going to happen in terms of what that does, but it's just a fluid number. That for right now, I'm looking forward to when we can get a little closer number or a little bit better idea after we start getting crop progress numbers and those types of things. But for right now, these are the numbers we have to work with.
You know, I think Jackie's on to something there. If you were to carry out the balance sheet into next year, what are some of the potential implications? And while 165 bushels an acre and 89 million planted acres could get us to lower our carryout at the end of 15-16, the other side of that coin is what if we have another whopper year? What kind of carryout could we then reasonably expect to have at the end of next year? And could that then again be above 2 billion bushels of corn? And what kind of corn prices would we see if that were to occur? So I think, like Jackie says, there's a lot going on and a lot to watch as this growing season gets underway.
I know we need to deal with a 1.827 billion bushel carryout for this year, but you did mention something bigger. Can we get to a 2 billion bushel again for the end of this marketing year? We were there when we started.
Oh, we were real close to doing that today, I think. I mean, if you think that feed and residual was going to come down 100 million, holding exports and all else constant, you go from 1777 up to 1877. Take another 50 out of exports, take 50 out of ethanol, and you're at that 2 billion mark pretty quickly, Todd. So, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of weakness potentially in the corn balance sheet going forward. Consumption's going to be a big factor to watch. Going forward through this marketing year.
You're really right, John. And, you know, when you look at the big picture, okay, I went to 165. So let's go the opposite way and say we have the whopper crop that we, you know, let's say we produce three more bushels than we did last year and we go to 176. That adds 800 million bushels to the crop. at 89.2 million acres. Where does that put us? It's just difficult at this time of year to be able. That's why there's such a big deviation on the report. You know, who can guess where we're going to be, especially when weather dictates most everything.
Okay, so again, we're dealing with a 1.827 billion bushel carryout at this point. And farmers, by the basis levels, are reluctant sellers of their old crop and have remained that way for a good part of the winter months. And they're about to go to the field. This sounds like a difficult situation at some point. And it'll resolve itself, I suppose, but that could be, what, lower futures prices, wider basis, both?
You know, Todd, you had me on a week ago, and I told you that the sound I heard was grain bin doors closing across the country. When corn dropped 18 cents after the grain stocks and acreage report, that's certainly, you know, a damper to want to get rid of old crop. Maybe you hang on to it a little while, and maybe Jackie has some better insight on what guys are actually doing to market that old crop.
Well, I'll tell you, John, I heard the bin door slam, too, you know, from that standpoint. I'm not saying that that would be a recommendation that I would make, because I think at the moment there's opportunity for guys if they really watch their basis closely, because of the fact that we do still have the ability to move some corn if they want to, and basis has gotten better because of the fact that they're just not selling. But reality is this, you know, it's a situation where selling will become a necessity when we get to, even though we have as much storage as we do, when we get to where we're looking down the throat of another crop coming in. And that's going to be a wall of corn. When you have the farmers sitting on 56.5% of the total crop, makes me very nervous, let's just put it that way. And so we've got a lot of guys positioned, you know, using paper and everything else to be able to hold prices just in case, because I think Mike Zuzulo has often said it, and I agree with him. I think we could be much like June of 2010, where we go down and we look at some pretty hefty lows or maybe new lows in the crop when we get into that June, July timeframe, because the trade will be anticipating if the farmer hasn't started to move. But, you know, one of the things that we know that has happened in the past is if, you know, we hear the bin doors slam shut if they're not happy with the price. But the more nervous they become, if you suddenly get a push lower, all of a sudden we do start to see some selling come in. My bigger concern is, you know, you look at Brazil, their second crop corn is estimated to be at 89 bushels per acre, 211 bushels a hectare. But 89 bushels per acre this year, that is an absolute record since they started keeping records in 99-2000. And so, you know, you looked at the increase in Argentina's corn availability. How do you, and in the presence of a higher U.S. dollar, how do you justify to someone to hang on to all this old crop corn as we keep on going forward? You know, to me, I think that making some sales, and if you want to re-own it, you know, stop your storage costs, stop your interest costs, and buy a call or do something like that. But, boy, rolling the dice could really be tough this year.
Do you suppose the corn and USDA, along with CONAB, release that 89 million, or that 89 bushel the acre figure, although you had to figure it yourself? Apparently you and I both did that. Do you suppose that corn will come out of Brazil, or will it stay there and be used in some form?
Well, I really think a large portion of it will stay there because, they're, you know, I remember back when corn prices went higher, they did the same thing that we did. They ripped up a lot of pasture land, 1.6 million acres equivalent, and got rid of a whole bunch of cattle. Well, they've been bringing more cattle in. So I think it's there, but it's the idea. We have to remember we are dependent somewhat on exporting ethanol to them too, Todd. And, you know, we know that they've been retooling. We know that they're building ethanol plants. So if it does stay there, it could still have a negative implication to us.
Were there any bright spots, do you think, in today's numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture, Jackie?
Bright spots?
Yeah.
I am certainly not going to, I'm not going to discount that we couldn't go higher in the marketplace. The part that you got to look hard for is we keep whittling it down further and further, and it keeps coming down to hot and dry weather, you know, and some type of a major issue that's going to cost the farmer who, if, you know, even if price goes higher, he may not have the production to go with it. And so I think that This is a realistic look at what the potential could be. And then I think it's our job to try and look at both sides and say, what could possibly get us to a higher level?
How about for you? Those numbers, have any of the numbers hold any brighter spots than some are seen?
That's a pretty deep sigh there, Todd. You know, it's hard because you could see where we could go higher than 1850. And yet, although we're not there today, you know, you could see scenarios that could develop through the rest of the marketing year that could push us into higher carryout stocks on corn. So even though the USDA report came in below analyst expectations, I also know that USDA is not going to do it all in one shot. And so it's going to be up to these next WASDE reports and to the weather conditions and to June stocks, things to continue to monitor before we get a clearer picture on exactly where we're going to end up. But certainly there are scenarios in my head where I could see us going up or going down from here.
Hmm. No.
Right. You know, I think where the bright spots came in today, Todd, are some of the news, you know, like the Hang Seng in Hong Kong hit a 7-year high on their stock market. The fact that the Chinese yuan, they will do anything to try and basically keep that currency in good shape. You know, I think they'll battle to the bitter end to do it because they can't afford to trade it. And you know, so I think from the standpoint of beans, yes, we definitely have a wall of beans down in South America. We know we're going to have probably 8 million metric tons in October, looking us in the face down there. But it still comes down to freight rates, and we still have very competitive freight rates. So I don't think you can, you know, you really need to get extremely depressed when you look at this. But from a risk management standpoint, I think, you know, this is what you have to look at and be realistic about. You were with me, Todd, when I asked the farmers. I said, I don't think anybody in the United States plants a crop with the idea that they want to have a drought to make prices go higher. We plant the crop because we're positive people, and we believe we're going to have a great crop, and therefore we have to manage manage our risk. But you want to know a bright spot? Did you happen to look at sorghum?
Yes.
I'm giving you a sorghum hard here, you know, a hard time about sorghum. But you know, everybody's talking about the increases in sorghum and you know, China's saying they may double their intake on sorghum this year. And I looked at it, you know, how we're estimated to produce 433 million bushels of sorghum this year. We exported an equivalent of 2% of the crop last year. If we reach the export levels that they're guessing at, we'll be at 2.4% of the $14 billion that they're estimating for this year. What I find to be interesting is the average price for sorghum is $3.85 to $4.15 a bushel, where the average price for corn is $3.55 to $3.85 a bushel. And so is that the premium difference because of GMO? I don't really know, but what it really says is, it might dent our corn usage a little bit, but it's not gonna kill us. And you know, they're talking about barley too going up so much. Well, we produce a whole whopping 177 million bushels of barley in the United States in a year, and they expect us to export 12 million. So there were some bright spots there. Yeah, let's just put it that way.
On the flip side of the Chinese thing, they do plan to stockpile more corn than they have in recent years, too.
Going back to sorghum, you know, Jackie, I had expected them to do those modifications to the sorghum balance sheet last month, and they left sorghum unchanged. And so to do the revision at this point seems like it was a long time coming. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree 100%. I expected it last month, too. I expected to see something that was going to be a great deal different than that. And especially as, you know, when you saw how aggressive China's been in taking sorghum imports. But, you know, again, from dealing with the USDA for a long time, there are certain things that are priorities, and then there are certain things that need to be caught up on. And let's just say sorghum hasn't exactly been a star up until this year. So I can probably see why it might not have been done, but I was glad to see it was done today.
All right. Before I let you go, Jackie, producers will be in the field. Marketing will not be high on their list of items to do, certainly for new crop, corn or soybeans. Do they need to be watchful, wary, or active?
Well, I would have to say it depends upon you know, what they've done in advance of getting in the fields. If they haven't done anything, boy, I think they need to be very, very watchful and active. If they have themselves in a pretty good position, then I would still say, you know, be watchful. But, you know, if you're working with other people, they're going to be watching for you too. I can tell you that Jeff talked with one of our Minnesota guys today. He said their planting date, earliest planting date is Saturday. And he said, man, will the rigs be going? And I did an interview today with Red River out of North Dakota, and he said, you cannot believe the amount of anhydrous that's going on out here. And so you're right. They're going to be out there, but they can never not be watchful. Let's just put it that way. You know, I always used to think that, well, and I still think it at times, you know, we love to drive tractors, we love to drive combines, and it's a really comfortable place to be, and sometimes you can hide from marketing, but even if you're not making a marketing decision, you're still making a marketing decision because you're going to get paid whatever they give you. So I just think it's something that can never be outside of your thinking.
Hey, I would agree with Jackie there, Todd. I think, you know, the way I look at marketing and marketing decisions is that you should hedge early and hedge often. That's the best way to mitigate risk.
Hey, thanks so much. That's John Newton, of course, of the University of Illinois, ag economist here in Mumford Hall. And on the phone line is Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. I appreciate both of you being with us today. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks a lot.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com. How would you like this as your personal cell phone answering message?
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Jack is not here right now, but leave your name and number after the beep and he'll get back to you.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.